The reading today is from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1 through till 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jill. Well, today is Epiphany Sunday, and the diocese, which is the area of the church that we belong to the Southwark Diocese here, and our cathedral is up at London Bridge. We think of ourselves as the church in Reigate quite a lot, or as a little part of the church in Reigate, and I'm not sure that we always appreciate that we are part of the wider Church of England, and indeed part of the wider Anglican Communion. All around the world, we're joined to people who worship in ways that are very similar to us, and who try in their own contexts to live out their Christian lives. And this Epiphany, the bishop has asked us to consider again the diocesan vision. And our vision is titled Hearts on Fire, with a vision for growth. And it's really wonderful to know that the bishops and the people who help us to be church here have that vision for growth and for worship and for reaching out. And so they've identified three things that they think have a connection with Epiphany for us to think about. I'm not going to talk about this bit for very long, but I wanted just to include it. The first thing they say is that as a diocese, as a church in this area in England, we should be walking with Jesus, getting to know him better as we journey on. If you go for a walk, you see new things all the time. Even if it's a familiar walk, you might see new things. And so it's important that we keep moving as Christians in our Christian life. So they want us to be people who are active. The next thing they've identified is that we should be people who are welcoming everyone into our fellowship, embracing our diversity. We have people who worship in different ways. We have people who value different aspects of their spiritual life, those who love to worship with choirs and candles and incense and all sorts of different things to look at that help them to connect with God. And we have other churches where people come completely as they are, which is probably more what we're like, where things look pretty much like they would somewhere else in our normal lives, and where we use modern language, where we try and connect with people as they are today, and where our emphasis is more on listening to what the Bible says and trying to apply that to the culture in which we find ourselves. So we are very diverse, and we're encouraged to welcome one another and to welcome others who want to join us. And the third thing they talk about is growing. Growing in numbers, growing in generosity, growing in faith and discipleship as we see God's kingdom grow. So there's more information about that vision, walking, welcoming and growing, on the table at the back on the left. They've done some little bookmarks which have a prayer, which we'll be using later in our prayers. And then there's also a postcard which shows you the different areas and what our diocese looks like and reminds us of those things. So it's a challenge for us as a church to make sure that we're walking and welcoming and growing. And it's a challenge for us as individuals as well in this new year. There we go. If you'd like to know more, do ask me at the end, or take a leaflet, or look on the diocesan website. Now, that might excite you, it might leave you cold, but I wonder how often and how regularly you allow your curiosity to escape. Who likes being curious about things? Yes? Generally, it's younger hands that go up when we talk about curiosity, and generally that's one of the biggest things parents have to deal with, is managing young curiosity. But there was an article on the BBC website this week about a teacher in the States, in California. Brett Turner decided that he would get his children learning by giving them a puzzle, giving them a riddle to think about. And this is what he wrote up on the board. You have to listen. I've made it more difficult for you. There's just a little hint because I haven't written it down for you to see. But this is what he said. I am the beginning of everything, the end of everywhere. I'm the beginning of eternity, the end of time and space. What am I? So he had a bit of space and he gave his children some time to think about it. I'll read it again. I am the beginning of everything. I am the end of everywhere. I'm the beginning of eternity, the end of time and space. What am I? And his children, who are quite small, had a thunk, and they came out with some fairly profound thoughts. One of them said, death. And some of them thought, well, it's something about life, but we're not quite sure what. This riddle has been retweeted over 97,000 times, probably more now, and over 285,000 people have liked it. It's a really good riddle. Does anybody know the answer? Does anybody who hasn't looked at the BBC website know the answer first? Okay. We've got some thoughts. We've got some thoughts. Jess, what do you think it is? It's not the internet. That's a good thought. What do we think in the middle, in the grey sweatshirt? Faith. That's a really good thought too. It's not faith. Go on, what do you think? Jesus or heaven? No, it's not. I feel a little bit like that teacher did. Nicholas, do you know what it is? It's the letter E. The teacher said that when he got those kind of answers back, he felt really guilty because his children had thought so creatively. But yes, actually, it's the letter E. I'll read it again. I'm the beginning of everything, the end of everywhere. I'm the beginning of eternity, the end of time and space. The letter E. But that curiosity is a really good thing, isn't it? It really fires our brains and gets them going. It's an underrated quality, I think, in a personality. And really, it's essential for the development of the human race. All the inventions that we enjoy have come from somebody's curiosity. And our story this morning from the Bible was about the wise men and their curiosity. They were searching for an answer. They'd seen some clues. They looked at some history. They looked at the stars and where they thought knowledge came from. And they were exercising their curiosity. And when you're curious, you might get an epiphany. An epiphany is a sudden realization of something. It's like a spark inside. A moment when things change internally, and that can change things externally as well. Those wise men started with their own assumptions. They went on a journey. They knew that they were looking for a ruler, for a new king. That's what they believed the stars were telling them, that the way they'd come together indicated there was going to be a new king. And so they went to a logical place. They went to a palace. And they said to Herod, "We've seen the stars. We've seen the signs. We know there's a new ruler somewhere. And it's somewhere around here. So we've come to you. Have you had a baby?" I expect that's what they said. And Herod went, "No, I don't know anything about that. I'm the ruler. I have been the ruler for a while. I am going to be the ruler for a very long time. There are no other rulers." Actually, I think that's probably what he thought. What he said was, "Let me ask my wise men." And he went and asked his wise men. And his wise men were some of the teachers of the law and the priests. And they said, "Well, there are these stories that there will be a baby born in Bethlehem. Perhaps that's something to do with these men." So Herod called them back in and he said, "Well, I think I might have an answer for you. Go and have a look in Bethlehem. It's a little town over there, and apparently there might be something there. But if you find anything, do come back and tell me so that I can join in with the joy." Actually, Herod wanted to make sure that he had no competitors, but he didn't tell them that. So the wise men go off and they find Jesus. The assumption was that he would be in a palace. The reality was that he was in a back room in a small house somewhere. They weren't looking for a commoner, but they were open to being surprised. And they allowed their assumptions to be challenged and themselves to be changed. Because when they got to Bethlehem and found this baby, they didn't say, "Oh no, that can't be right, he's not wearing a crown." They said, "This is a holy person." And they bowed down and they gave him precious gifts. Their understanding grew because of this revelation, this epiphany. And they returned home by another route. It told us in the story that they were warned in a dream and they went back another way. They didn't go and tell Herod because they realized that Herod didn't really want to know for good reasons. And I think that Herod was furious when they changed their minds and didn't do what he wanted. So this year, I wonder what your assumptions are. I wonder what you're expecting to happen. And I wonder what your reaction is if an epiphany happens to you, if something suddenly clicks that's different. The Magi, the wise men, their reaction was to bow down and worship, to throw away their old assumptions, and to be open to something new. Herod's reaction was completely the opposite. Herod knew that he was the ruler and he wanted to stay as the ruler. And if anything came in the way of that, he was going to destroy his enemies. A baby became his enemy because he felt threatened. So the Magi, the wise men, their response was one of faith, and so they grew as people. Herod's response was one of fear, and that meant destruction for other people. I have a poster on my wall, which I used to have on my classroom, that said, "Your mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open." Today, as we've baptized Ethan and Joe, they've embarked on a new adventure in faith and expectation. And as Hughes renewed his baptismal vows, he's recognized that he's come to a point where it's helpful to take stock of things, to reset the compass as they journey on together as a family in faith. It's an important day, and one that I'm sure you're going to remember for a long time. We all have to choose which direction we're going to go. We have to decide which maps we're going to use. Some of us rely on other people to tell us which way to go. We have a sat nav in the car, and I always need the sound on because I need a voice telling me in 100 yards you're going to turn right. I still get it wrong because I don't know what 100 yards looks like. But I need that voice, and I find it helpful. Some of us don't feel the need to refer to a map at all because we're always going to the same places and we recognize the route. When you go to school, I don't expect you have to get a map out to find your way from house to school. You recognize it, it's familiar. And sometimes, I wonder if you've had that experience of turning into your road and realizing for a moment that you have no idea how you got from your door at work to your front door. Has anybody ever had that? You go on autopilot and suddenly you're there and you think, oh yes, I've driven 5 miles or whatever. And you were concentrating, but you've been thinking about other things. Sometimes we can just go on autopilot, but sometimes we need to look at the map again. Maybe because we're curious about landmarks around us, something we hadn't seen before, and we want to find out what it was. Maybe because we're going on an unfamiliar path. And I know there are people in our church family who are on unfamiliar paths this year, and not ones that they've chosen. But something in life has changed, and it will be different going forward. And maybe they'll need a bit of help with directions and the map. Or perhaps you're ready for a new adventure, and you need to find out what that might be. So are we willing to step out like the wise men today? There's a bit of a warning here that the chief priests and the teachers of the law knew those prophecies, and when Herod called them and said, "I need you to tell these visitors where to go," they knew the answers, but they didn't follow themselves. Let's not be people who know the answers, but don't make the journey. So perhaps for some of us this year, as we begin a new year, it's time to get out the old maps again, or to check the landscape and notice new features. Perhaps for some of us, it's time to invest in a new up-to-date map. Dust off the Bible. Find a new version of a Bible that's less familiar, that encourages you to think again, that points out new landmarks. Perhaps it's time to come on Alpha. I'm going to keep waving these until they're all gone. We've got a new Alpha course starting in a couple of weeks' time on Thursday evenings, a chance to come and Tuesday evenings, a chance to come and eat together, to join a group of people thinking about the big questions of faith. Or perhaps it's time to join a life group or to start going along to Jigsaw. What will your epiphany be? What will your journey be this year? Let's not be like the people who said, "Oh yeah, we know the answers, but we can't be bothered to go." Let's not be like Herod, so set in our ways that anything different is a threat to be ignored or destroyed. Let's be people who step out on that journey and become the wise ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those wise men so many centuries ago who followed their own understanding, who made assumptions, but who were open to your truth. Would you help us to be open to your truth today? And would you walk with us on the adventure that you're calling us to join in with? Amen.